Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. Our text for our meditation here this morning is recorded in the 119th Psalm, beginning with the 9th verse. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth. In the way of your testimonies I delight, as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. These are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Hard to be a humanities guy and like science fiction. Sure, a lot of humanities majors have dreamt up a lot of those Star Trek gadgets that we take for granted today, but it's the science majors who make them possible. Besides that, humanities profs are never the heroes in sci-fi flicks. That's why I was so excited to see the 2016 movie Arrival. For in this movie, aliens come offering to mankind a tool that turns out to be a language that's able to transcend the limits of space and time. Now, if that were not enough, it's the linguist, not the physicist, who figures this all out. However, this realization nearly does not come in the nick of time, for it happens seconds before the world governments are about to destroy the aliens because they have confused the word for tool with the word for weapon. Now, I would like to argue that our text for today is not mere science fiction. No, I'm not arguing that some little green dictionary salesman is going to come knocking on my door. Nor I'm suggesting that God, our God, has brought the entire universe into being with nothing more than his uncreated word. He didn't just write down some equations and say, poof, there it all is. No, the book of Genesis says, God said, let there be light, and there was light. God gifts us this very same language today in the sacred scriptures. Through it, we can not only transcend space and time, but even sin and grace itself. Sorry, even sin and death itself. Now, how can a young man keep his life pure? Psalm 119 is a transformative meditation on God's word. For centuries, the faithful have reflected upon this psalm during the daylight hours. It inspired the early Christians to pray 8 times a day. As the ABCs of divine wisdom, it spells out the essence, the purpose, and the power of God's word. It doesn't just lay out a path for freedom and happiness that allows us to transcend the limits of sin and death, but it also transfigures us and gives us a new perspective on all things. Now, this psalm is arranged in an acrostic pattern. That means that each successive 8-line stanza begins with a new letter of the Hebrew alphabet. This mnemonic device was intended to let the Old Testament faithful assimilate the contents and the power of Psalm 119. In a Sermon on the Mount, Jesus teaches us, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. This means that whatever you hold most dear becomes the focus of your life. To put it another way, whatever you spend your time with shapes who you are and what and how you're going to live out your life. Thus, whether you meditate upon a text, a person, or a thing, it will not only inform your life, it will transform it as well. Yes, you heard me right. Everyone meditates. The question is not if we meditate, but what we meditate most upon. Take, for instance, sports enthusiasts. They meditate upon games, upon stats, upon sports commentary. Sports paraphernalia covers all aspects of their homes. Even the rhythm of their life is governed by the rhythm of the athletic seasons. Sports even so saturates who they are that they become kind of like little sports evangelists to anyone who will listen. Now, there's nothing wrong with a healthy enthusiasm for sports. I know I have it myself. And yet, when it displaces God, or it displaces our family, or it displaces our neighbor, then something has gone awry. When God's word is not the center of our lives, we begin to forsake our freedom. For whatever man-made idol has begun to displace our God, we lose that divine perspective that integrates all human life and gives hope to human existence. Life splinters into a series of false either-ors: God or science, head or heart, facts, values, individual or the community, me, everyone else. But what today have we sacrificed our freedom for? Are we still convinced that we have control of our own idols? How many converts have we made just today for our own pet sins? Do we actually have any control of our tongues anymore? Or have we alienated all those around us? Has pornography so warped our minds that we are no longer fit to be a spouse, much less a parent? Have we convinced our roommates and our friends that it's really worth it to blow off our courses, not to mention our futures, just to indulge a Netflix addiction or some other kind of addiction? How can a young man keep his life pure? The psalmist answers, by guarding it according to your word. You see, God sent his son into our world to give us a language that not only transcends space and time, but even sin and death itself. That language is the word made flesh who dwelt among us, as we hear in the Gospel of St. John. For only Christ can free us from the hell of our own making. Already as a 12-year-old child, we hear how he reflected upon the sacred scriptures in the temple and taught them with authority. We hear how he called Lazarus forth from the grave with nothing more than an utterance from his sacred lips. We hear how he rewrote our names into the book of life with seven words from his holy cross and postscripted it: it is finished. Easter has proven to be undone. Easter has proven that sin is undone. Pentecost shows that even Babel, the confusion of languages, has been reversed. Even Eden itself has been reversed as evident by our own presence here today. All this fulfills what the prophet Jeremiah had long foretold. And this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them. I will write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. Just as God once created all things through his uncreated word, Jesus Christ, so too he created you and me again through his spoken word. And just as he brought the whole world into being out of nothing, so too he brings you and me into our new life in Christ with nothing on our part. Martin Luther puts it this way: the love of God does not find, but creates that which is pleasing to it. Since we have been spoken into being in our justification, Time, space, not even sin and death can contain us. For we have entered into union and communion with God himself. Therefore, whenever we meditate upon God's sacred scriptures, our spiritual DNA is, so to speak, being rewritten so that we are already experiencing that bright and glorious Easter morning outside of time, albeit not yet in its fullness. Now, if King David had to meditate upon the Psalms that he himself wrote by divine inspiration, how can we remain anchored to God if we are not regularly meditating upon them? King David himself says in Psalm 1, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yield its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers." We see here also that God's word provides us a structure or a framework necessary for human flourishing. At first glance, this might seem stultifying rather than liberating. And yet, no free expression is possible without some kind of structure, without some kind of framework in which to exist. For a musician can't create beautiful music if they haven't internalized the musical system. A basketball team can't execute a play if that play has not become instinct. So too, we can only truly live out our lives when we live them out according to God's own sacred grammar, God's word and holy sacraments. No doubt science fiction is able to imagine mind-blowing alternate realities. But brothers and sisters, only sacred scripture can create mind-blowing, genuine realities. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Amen.